God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest,
and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
The first reading today is from the book of Jonah. When God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they had turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he would bring down upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give him shade for his head, to save him from discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when the dawn came the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the man rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, is it better for me to die than to live? But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the bush? And he said, yes, angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, you're concerned about the bush for which you did not labor. You did not grow. It came into being in a night, and it perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and many animals? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And full of compassion. I will exalt you, O God, my King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. There is no end to his greatness. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your power. I will ponder the glorious splendor of your majesty, and all your marvelous works. They shall speak of the might of your wondrous acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall publish the remembrance of your great goodness. They shall sing of your righteous deeds. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion.
Second reading is from the book of Philippians. To me, living in Christ and dying is gain. But if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, but for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life when I come to you again, and only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you're standing firm in one spirit, thriving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and you are in no way intimidated by your appointments. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation, and this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into the vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received their usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against their landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have been borne the burden of the day and the scorching of the heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever witnessed siblings arguing over how much more the other has received? I have experienced it in my own family, and of course it is never my fault, we say. We grumbled like this, "Why did you give him more than me?" And sometimes parents are confronted with silly battles like that. And parents are generous, but God is outrageously generous.
So we will learn how those battles are not as silly as we think and how God is dealing with that in today's readings. Jesus knew that we had it in us to believe that we deserve absolutely the best and no other person can come even close, and preferably the others should receive nothing. Think of the mother of the Zebedee's sons who came to Jesus and knelt down to Jesus and asked Jesus about positions in kingdom of God. She was asking Jesus, can my son go on your right hand and my other son go on your left? We all want absolutely the best for ourselves. And I know it sounds ridiculously silly, but nations also do often fight because of it. So it's no small matter by any means. For example, today, the nation of Turkey has been grumbling and fuming over equal rights to the Mediterranean Sea, mainly with Greece, and France is involved too, I should say that. So it's not as silly as we might think it is. So my thesis would be that God cares for everyone since he created them, and no amount of fuming or grumbling from us would change God's justice. But rather, Jesus' point is that we are the ones who need to change our attitudes and act with God's perspective. Let's begin with the Old Testament story, shall we? And it shows Jonah, a prophet from Israel. Let me make those on my right hand to be people from Israel. Yay! And then on my left, there will be people from the mighty Assyrians. They are the mighty Syrians because they knew how to fight in those days. And they were powerful enemies of the nation of Israel. So perhaps the equivalent to what I would call the animosity between the nation of Israel and the people of Assyria, maybe today would be valued as the equivalent of the Al-Qaeda nation. You don't want to be part of the Al-Qaeda nation, do you? Right, and Jonah came from the nation of Israel. He didn't want to be sent to Assyria. He didn't want that, the people of Assyria. No, he didn't. And he decided to flee, but God had other plans for him. Now, on his way to fleeing God, the boat nearly capsized, and the sailors threw him overboard at his request, so he was swallowed by a big fish. And people may think this is an outlandish story, but it is a story basically depicting Jesus as a savior of us sinners. First in the boat, he says, fellow people, dudes, if you throw me overboard, you will be saved. That's a saving act there. And then once he got to the other side, he had to spend 3 days in the belly of the fish, which depict what? The 3 days when Jesus was in the tomb. And then when he got on the other side, he brought the good news of God that the people of that city repent. If you don't repent, your city is going to be destroyed. So the huge, huge, huge imagery of Jesus in that story for us. Now, to his surprise, the people in the Nineveh, they heard the message and repented, and God forgave them. But Jonah was mad. I knew it. God, you are such a gracious God, merciful and slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. I knew you would forgive them. There, I was trying to figure out why was Jonah mad. Was he mad because he was afraid to be called a fake prophet since nothing happened, no one was destroyed? Or was he mad because his enemies were not destroyed? Was it? We may think we don't have those silly, childish attitudes, but you may be shocked to learn otherwise. If it was up to Jonah, the people of Nineveh wouldn't have stood a chance. What about our own justice? What do we mm-hmm. want that other people have for punishment? What do we think other people deserve? And deep down we know we don't wish well our enemies. And it's in our nature to respond in kind. We respond fire with fire, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. That's the way of the world. But God is not like that. God is not like that. His expectation is simply that all people will turn back to God and then stop doing their wickedness and then follow God and worship Him. And what we need to remember is that grace is God's favor towards us that is unearned, undeserved, not because we did anything at all. I love you. Simply, God says, I love you. Simply, forget about all your past and all that things unearned, undeserved. And we often forget about that. And that's what we see in Jesus' parables, where he tells us essentially that no one is trash in front of him. Not the children. Remember the disciples were telling, oh, children, move them aside, move them aside. Jesus have no time for you. And Jesus, no. In the kingdom of God, they are so powerful in the kingdom of God. And not any other people group, not the people from the Amazon, not the people who have not heard about civilization, not anybody, everyone, no one is trash in God's eyes. Outrageous generosity. And Jesus' hearers would have understood this. They would have loved to work for that denarius, that daily wage, because they were in need. Those who worked hard for the whole day were mad because they received the same wage as those who worked for few hours. There, we notice again our childhood silly attitude. Why pay them much while we are the ones who worked hard? It sounds like they may have a point, though. But our justice is like a filthy rags compared to the justice from God. People were in need, period. That's what God sees. People were in need. And God is that generous. Why then do we grumble about it? We all have these silly notions of what other people deserve. If we look at histories, we see how humans have terribly treated each other. Some people have thought that others deserved to go to the concentration camps, to be killed, or to be submitted to horrific, inhumane medical tests. You probably, if you have gone to one of those history documentaries, you would learn a lot about what people from Auschwitz concentration camp went through before they were sent to their deaths. Our justice is like filthy rags. We are encouraged to seriously review our attitudes towards other people, even our enemies, to look at them the way God would look at them. Everyone should be treated fairly with an outrageous generosity, just like God treats us. Amen.
Affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe
in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures.
He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people are Form 3 and found in your bulletin. Let us pray responsibly. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of your church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for Justin, Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael, our presiding bishop, Phoebe, our bishop, Jeff, our rector, Kristen, our associate rector, and all bishops, priests, and deacons.
That they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all those affected by war and natural disasters, our military personnel, our president, Congress, and judiciary, and for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on Ames, Ashley, T.I., Nikki, Brian, Stuart, June, Butch, Dana, Ed, James, Kurt, Janice, Mary, Kristen, Barbara, Chip, Hooper, Mark, Maureen, Bill, Jane, Colleen, Franny, Bill, Rick, and all those who suffer from any grief or trouble.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to all the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
And we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
We pray for all missionaries, for our pastoral care team, and all those with birthdays this week, Mary Beth, Julie, Emilia, Cindy, Rusty, Matt, Gray, Charlotte, Kaylor, Sabrina, and Jenny. Let us pray for our own needs and the needs of others.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give us the peace of, and unity of that heavenly city, where with the Father and Holy Spirit you live and reign now and forever. Amen." Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
the announcements. I was talking with Father Jeff earlier today. It's good news that we were finally been allowed to have Holy Communion. So it's going to begin this coming Wednesday and then also the following Sunday. And so instruction on how we will be doing it will be given to you while you are here. And also, what a blessing to have you with us. So thank you, Vernon, for blessing us with a wonderful music. Thank you. Yeah, and there's also one of we have a diocesan convention, so there's some information right there and the vote that will be happening, and I think as time comes back closer, we'll give you more information about what happens to diocesan convention. So before we enter into our time of just dwelling in the presence of God, I want us to stand so that we can pray the Lord's Prayer together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You're welcome to sit or kneel, any position that is comfortable for you. Be aware of your body before God. We are in God's house and in the presence of God. Take a slow and deep breath. As you breathe in, invite God in your life. Say to God, come into my life. Let God lead you in your journey following Jesus. Ask God for his Holy Spirit to guide you and to teach you how to be gracious like him. More grace towards other people. More love and grace towards other people. Ask God to open your eyes so we can see others like God sees them. Take a moment to ask God to increase your capacity to love others, to give us a bigger heart, a heart that can forgive more and more offenses of others. Give me such a big heart, O Lord. And as you continue to inhale and exhale, slow and deep breath. Allow God's peace to flow into the palaces of your heart, every part of you, for the peace of Christ to rest everywhere. That peace that surpasses all understanding. Allow Jesus to come in and dwell in you. Allow him to work through you. Hand in your hand. Ask Jesus to take your hand so he can walk with you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia.